G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Movie, where is it? Little Women. Yes, those guys, they were just in there in the theater filling it up. I think there was only one guy there. Well, was it a high action suspense movie? No? Was it a dramatic love story? Yeah. Funny laugh-a-minute comedy? Yeah, not quite the same as Shaun the Sheep. No, I think there are a lot of... No. Why don't we just quickly have a look and see what the trailer was like. Little Women. It's just a story about life. And today you'll have to forgive me if I jump between movie, book, 1980s movie. There's a few mixed up in my head. But in essence... Little Women is a story about Jo March. She wants to be a writer. She wants to earn her own way in life through writing. That is her passion. But in her opinion, the only way to do this, earn this, is through just short, cheap stories in the newspaper that will sell. But as the movie unfolds, we discover that it's actually the story of her family. That it's the March story family that is the story to be told. And it's their ups and downs and their frustrations and their passions, and it's the fact of the ordinary and the everyday that actually is the story. And isn't that our story too? I don't think there's many of us that actually take part in dangerous rescue missions. No one's come back lately. Most of us don't really have a dramatic love story to tell because, you know, and it's easy to find God in these. It's easy to see his story. You do, do you? It's easy to find God in these places. You know, we can see the big rescue of Jesus, and we can fix that, we can line it up with different characters in exciting adventures and things like that. But most of us don't live that sort of life. Most of us live in the ordinary and the everyday. Most of us kind of wonder how God fits into that. You know, how does he fit into our story, and how do we fit into his? And if we look at it, God's grand story of rescue and redemption, of our Savior coming to save us, to rescue us, that's already been played out. That happened with Jesus. But the thing is, we're not actually home yet. And we're actually living out that last scene, the scene before we get to the happily ever after. We're in the middle of that. And we're living that. That's the last part of God's story on earth. And it's the part where our true characters and, you know, are really brought out, and that they're refined and molded and shaped. And it's in that everyday part, the everyday story, that God is actually found. And that is where a story such as Little Women is so beautiful. It can show us so much about how we can take this ordinary that we think we have and find in it the extraordinary. And it's actually in the very characters of the story that we see God's hand forming and shaping and molding and refining. So I thought this morning we might meet a few of these characters. And our first character is Mr. March. Here's Mr. March. And actually, he's mostly absent. He is away serving in the American Civil War as a chaplain. But even though he's mostly absent, he plays a huge role in the lives of his family because he writes. He communicates his love for his family, his desires for them, his passion for them. And, you know, it's the most treasured gift, that first Christmas that we meet the family, is a letter from Mr. March, from their father. And this is what he wrote. He said, "Give them all my dear love and a kiss. Tell them I think of them by day. Pray for them by night and find my best comfort in their affection at all times. A year seems very long to wait before I see them, but remind them that while we wait, we may all work so that these hard days need not be wasted. I know they will remember all I said to them, that they will be loving children to you. They will do their duty faithfully, fight their bosom enemies bravely and conquer themselves so beautifully that when I come back to them, I may be fonder and prouder than ever of my little women." What a beautiful letter to receive. What a letter to know that you're loved, that even though you are separate from your father, that this instrumental person in your life loves you and thinks of you and prays for you and cares about you and dreams for you. And how much do we find that in the Bible itself? A book that's got a whole section on letters that have been written, letters reminding people that they are part of something bigger, letters stirring them up to live a life that is worthy of their call, letters that are reminding who they are and who loves them. And as Jesus left his disciples and his followers and on earth, to live out this last scene of God's story, you know, it seemed like that would be a lonely road. It seemed like there's people disjointed and scattered throughout the place. But as he did that, he inspired people to write. He inspired people to write down his heart and his passion for his people, the people that he wanted to follow him, the people that he wanted to know him, the people he wanted to teach and to instruct and form their character and bring out the best in them. And so he inspired people to write those letters, people like Paul, who would write to the Philippians. And in Philippians 1 would say, "Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." What a letter. How amazing to receive a letter like that. To know that there's someone praying for you, there's someone believing with you, someone walking with you. You have. That letter was not just written for the Philippians. God inspired that letter not just to touch them, not just to encourage them on their walk, but to reach past that generation into our generation, into the future generations. It goes way beyond its original intention to touch even us, because really it's God's heart that's being expressed. Yes, it was written by the hand of Paul, but it was God's heart for his people. It's God's passion to see them, to grow and to live and to make the most of what they have. And so we can take that letter, and that letter can help shape us and guide us to be everything that God wants us to be. It's a powerful force that communicates God's love to us. But today you can also be a voice. You can be that voice that speaks encouragement into the people around you. You know, separation from others doesn't have to shut down that voice. It doesn't matter if you're a husband or a wife, father or mother that has to work away sometimes. It doesn't matter that you might have a child that is, you know, leaving home. It doesn't matter that, you know, there's other people in your world that you just you can't quite have access to at the moment, you still have a voice that can communicate those things of God in their world. You can still be the one that writes the letters. You can be making the phone calls. You can be using the technology and the social media that's around you to bring life into people and speak hope and purpose and love. And I can see this year. I can see that this can be a church that where people just they don't give up on the people they're separated from. They don't just step away and shut those doors, but they open up their voice and they find what God wants to speak into that world. And so they encourage the ones that they love and they speak life into them and they write letters and they do all those things so that no one needs to be forgotten and no one needs to be truly separated and on their own. So that's Mr. March. But there's so many amazing characters, and the next one we come to is Mami. That's the name that the girls give to their mother, and everyone seems to call her that as well. She is the one who holds the family together, the one the girls strive so hard to be like and to please. And, you know, she's an amazing woman. She's not perfect, and she admits to that in the story. But she doesn't give lip service to helping others. She doesn't just speak about it or moralize about it. She actually goes and lives it. And we see this so well on that first Christmas where the girls wake up and they go downstairs and they say, "Where is Mother?" And Hannah, the helper, she says, "Goodness only knows. Some poor creature came begging and your ma went straight off to see what was needed. There never was such a woman for giving away victuals and drink, clothes and firing." You see, Mami she's already up and she's already caring for others. She's taking action on that first need that comes to her door, even on Christmas morning. But she doesn't just do it herself. She actually gathers her family around her and draws them into that same heart. Her nature is infectious. That desire to love and give becomes an infectious thing in the whole family. And so what do the girls do as they come down and see this amazing, beautiful breakfast that is laid out? And such a treat on Christmas morning, because they don't have much. They're a poor family themselves, struggling to make ends meet. You know, Jo burnt her dress and so she couldn't have a new one for the ball. You know, they're not going well. But what do? They gather up their breakfast and they trudge through the snow to the home of this family with lots of little kids and mouths to feed, and they start serving. And in the middle of that, when it's half I want to do this and half I really just want to eat this myself, they discover that heart that their own mother has, the joy that comes out of giving in the middle of that situation. And it reminds me so much of a church that Paul writes about, church in Macedonia. He talks to the Corinthian church about them. He's so excited by who they are and what they've done. They're just a little church. And they are being tested by many miracles, it says in 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 2, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem, and they even did more than we had hoped. For their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Paul was blown away by this church, so blown away that he wanted to share it with others. Yes, to encourage them and show them what was possible, but also just so amazed by their heart and their passion. And he did want to encourage the Corinthian church to dream, dream about who they could be, dream about what was possible by taking the example of someone else and think about how they could be. And I get excited too. I get excited because in this church, I see such a people. I see people who, you know, respond like that to a text that we want to give to Bilpin and Lithgow. We want to get some hampers together to bless them on Christmas Day. And so we get this abundance of hampers to get delivered on Christmas Day. I mean, how amazing. I see the church that you know, comes every Tuesday, every first Tuesday of the month to come and bless another part of our community in Bathurst, to make meals, to get hampers together, to put, you know, set aside a portion of their own grocery money to give to someone else. And I see a church that also dares to dream. Dares to dream that, you know, that the possibility of a bigger church might just happen. That we could step beyond what really should be possible and we could enlarge something that we would really love to bless our community and to bring more life into this city. And so I see in here, I see a church that actually looks beyond what our size is or what our practical ability might be. And I see one that actually blesses on the ground and lives out in so many ways, not just here in Bathurst, but beyond and overseas, what God really wants the heart of his church to be. And I can't wait to see how that expands and that grows this year more and more. So our next character is Jo March. This is Jo. She is the heroine of the story and she's full of passion and fight and arguments and challenges. She doesn't want to just stand by and let life happen. She wants to just grab hold of it and tackle it and challenge it where it doesn't fit with her. And it's so beautifully illustrated in this movie, particularly through her love for her sister Beth, because she never gives up. She never wants to give up on the fact that Beth could be well again, that she could be full of life herself. She's always believing that she could be strong and healthy. And so she does her utmost to make that happen. She earns whatever she can to save up to take her to the seaside so she can get strong. She writes stories for her to make her laugh and make her cry and just to make life enjoyable for her. But, you know, as we go through the story, we see Jo finally discovering that it's who she is herself, with someone alongside her that believes in her and encourages her, that she can actually write her best. It's not in the trashy, sensational stories for the paper, but it's actually with a heart that is full of love and passion and that she can write her best. And so we see her writing this story for Beth, her sister, in honour of her, the story of their family that just might seem ordinary and everyday but is full of love and heart in it. And how like Peter in the Bible is Jo. Peter's the one that passionately steps out of the boat and goes to walk on the water, who wants to be part of the action. Peter's the one when Jesus comes to wash their feet and he says, no, 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 you can't wash my feet. And then the next sentence says, no, just wash all of me, because he doesn't want, he's trying to work out where do we fit in this. I don't want to be served by you. You are my Lord, but yet this is what you want, so I want the whole lot and more. And it's Peter who says in John 13, as Jesus tells them that he's leaving, Simon Peter says, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. But why can't I come now, Lord? I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me." Peter, he's so many contradictions. But what we can't say about him is he doesn't sit by and just let life happen. He jumps in, boots and all. Every part of his passion, every fiber of his being is on board with what's happening and involved in it and passionate about it. And it's Peter who Jesus asks, with all of these faults known and everything about him understood, he says, "Lead my people, lead my sheep. Be the one that takes care of them." You know, I love that fact that even amongst, you know, those times when we might actually be someone who's hot under the collar, we don't know how to control our feelings, our passions. We see things happen and we want to react to it, and we often do, and then it gets us into trouble and we have to come back the other way. Even in amongst that, God can take hold of that and he can form it and he can shape it and he can refine it. He never loses the passion. He never, you know, he never becomes boring, Peter. He maintains his passion to the end. But God has brought it into his purposes and into his story and into the way that he wants to see Peter live that out. And I can see that is for us as well. That this year that there might be someone sitting there going, "Yeah, I'm just like Peter," or "I'm just like Joe." And things get to me and things stir me and I kind of let it out and then I regret it. Well, this year, God is going to give you that voice for his purposes. He's going to take hold of that voice and not lose any of the passion and not lose any of the heart, but direct it and aim it and fire it right where it matters, right in the way that just cuts through and speaks his heart loud and clear and his purposes. So hold on for the ride. If that's you, don't stop and just jump into God's story and let him refine that and take hold of it for him. Let him weave his life through your story. Our last character is Laurie. This is Laurie. He's the handsome one. He's the boy next door. Literally, he is the boy next door. He lives in a big house with his grandfather and he's lonely. He's terribly lonely. And so he longs to be included. He looks through the window and sees the family having fun and all the antics they get up to. And he looks on that and he just wants to be a part of it. And as the story progresses, of course, he does become included and they get to know him and his grandfather. And through the influence of love and challenges through that story and through those families, he changes. His character is changed. It's refined and it goes through several processes. You know, he's a young, carefree youth, just having a whole lot of fun. He's about 16 when we first meet him. And then it goes through different stages. It gets terribly hurt. And then he becomes incredibly resentful. And then he just gives up and becomes lazy. And then finally, we see him mature into a thoughtful young man who has discovered his place where he does fit into the March family. And the Bible is so full of people like that. Our world is so full of people like that. People that are lonely, that don't feel included and don't know where they fit in. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible of that is Zacchaeus. I think it's a funny story. But I see in Zacchaeus just someone that longs to be included. You know, he's made choices and decisions and that's excluded him from the normal ongoing life of the Jewish people. And we can just think, well, that's his choices. He's made those. But his heart is still to be part of it. His heart is still to know what the action is. And when he hears Jesus coming through town, you know, he wants to know who this guy is. He wants to find out about him. He wants to be included. And so he climbs up a tree because he's short so that he can see this man, just catch a glimpse and for once in his life just feel a part of the crowd and the action. But he's really surprised in Luke 19 at verse 5 when Jesus stops at the tree and he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his home in great excitement and joy. You know, when God breaks into our story, just like he broke into Zacchaeus' story, we are suddenly presented with an amazing opportunity to be included. Right in front of Zacchaeus, Jesus is calling out to him, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. He's reaching out his hand. He's giving him an opportunity to be included. And at that moment, Zacchaeus has to make a response. And because he made a quick response, because he jumped down and he went and he got to that house and he invited Jesus in, the story of Zacchaeus' life changed. His whole character changed. When Jesus got into that story for him, his life turned around. And so we might think that we're born a certain way. We might go just, well, this is how I am. This is who I am and this is what I do. But no, we're not born with a certain character. It's life that develops that character. It's the things that happen to us and our responses to that that determine the character that is molded out of that story. And so you might be a Laurie or a Zacchaeus and you might be feeling on the outside today, but I really encourage you that don't stop there. Don't just let that determine how the rest of the story is going to end, because today you are given an opportunity. You have an opportunity to take hold of the hand that is extended to you. When the doors of a church are opened, that's a hand being extended to come in and to be included in that space. And it might feel like you're a bit intimidated, like you don't belong, like you don't know anyone. But it's as we step into that space and even take that, you know, the courage to say, hi, I'm so-and-so. That we take that on ourselves, that then we're stepping in to the story that God opens up for us. Or this year it might be that you are actually the one acting on God's behalf, that you're the one holding out the hand, that you're the family that needs to draw someone in, maybe a uni student who's away from home. It may be that you're opening your home for the first time to a life group and you discover that night of the week is your favourite night of the week when it's full of people and noise and a lot of washing up, but suddenly it's full of life as well. And you might surprise yourself with those changes that come over your character. You might surprise yourself with the fact that, actually, I like people in my world and I want to do that more. You know, it's through God's story that we can most shape our own characters. We're not stuck with who we are. There's things inside of us that might be passion and frustration sometimes, but it's how we let God use that and form that that makes that character beautiful. It's the decisions we make inside of that that determines the character that comes out of that. And I've had a lot of fun this month, discovering God's story in the movies. You know, you can kind of guess that it's going to be in Star Wars. There's a lot of rescuing going on and bravery and missions. I didn't know I could find it in the alleyways in Cats, and I did not know I could find it in a flock of sheep. with Shaun the Sheep. I will look at it differently every time it's on the television now. But it's also been really good to discover that it's not just in the amazing and the fun and the exciting that God's story exists, but it's actually in the ordinary and the everyday. It's in our life that God's story can speak. And it's through the characters in our story that we see God's hand moving and that we can be God's hand as well. At the beginning of this series, Jeff spoke about a book written by a man called John Eldridge. It's called Epic. And it's about God's story. And at the end of that, he says, we find ourselves in the middle of a story that is sometimes wonderful and sometimes awful, often a confusing mix of both. And we haven't a clue how to make sense of it all. It's like we're holding it in our hand, some pages torn out of a book. And these pages are the days of our lives, fragments of a story. They seem important, or at least we long to know that they are. But what does it all mean? If only we could find the book that contains the rest of the story. That's the book. This is the book, God's book. That's the rest of the story for us. We fit into this one. It's got a beginning and it's got an end. We don't know where the end is yet. We sit somewhere in the middle of those, you know, last pages and when Revelation somehow happens. But we're in there. And we have a place. But it's actually up to us to see how our character develops in that story. It's up to us as to whether we just let the circumstances of life impact us or whether we make choices to step into things that God lays out for us. And the best way to help make those choices is to understand the beginning of the story, to know the author of that story. Because as you know the author, you know how he longs to write it. You know how he longs to write down those pages of your life, of your story, the things that would just give him most pleasure and delight to write down. But you've got to get to know him in order to do that. And I don't know at this point what story you've fallen into. I don't know if you're in this story yet, or if you're just kind of off writing your own. But today you have a chance to step out of the story that you might be writing yourself and to step into God's story. You have a chance to step into a story of love and salvation, of sacrifice, of passion, of gentleness, of forgiveness. And that's a story that's open for you and waiting. You're invited. Jesus has extended the hand. And all you need to do is to put down your pen, say, yep, I want to jump into your story, Jesus. I'm sorry for writing it my own way, for doing it my own way. Please forgive me. Let me step into your story and help me to write those pages with you, to make those choices, to make those decisions, and to be the best person that I can absolutely be.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.